Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel podcast. My name is Jonathan Downs, and I am the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Canberra, Australia. I'm delighted that you are listening to this message, and my prayer is that this word will bless your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you are interested in a personal Bible study, we would love to hear from you. Please visit our website at www.calvarychapel.com.au to get in contact with us, or if you want to find out more about our church. Thanks for joining us, and let's go to the Word of God.
Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, and then Exodus chapter 14, verses 14 and 15. If you can turn there, it'll also be on the screen for those that don't have their Bibles. You can follow along. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." Can we say those four words right there? Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee. Let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword." Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14 and 15, it says, "The Lord shall fight for you." Somebody say, "Thank you, Jesus." "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Everybody say, "Go forward." Amen. We've got to go forward. I want to take a little bit of time to speak on this title today. Let my people go forward. Amen. Can we all say that together? Let my people go forward. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that we have your word that is forever settled in heaven. That, Lord, as we read your word, oh God, Lord, we are encouraged. It speaks to us. Lord God, we can apply it to our lives today. So let us not just be hearers, but let us be doers of the word also. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let my people go forward. Amen. I love to preach from the book of Exodus. And if you've been around for any time, you'll know that I love to study and preach about types and shadows. In the book of Exodus, it's about coming out. That's what Exodus means, to come out. And it has been said by some that the footprints of Jesus can be found in the book of Exodus. Now, of course, Jesus wasn't there as a man in the book of Exodus, but the book of Exodus points forward to the ultimate fulfillment of God's plan for salvation. You see, the Exodus, the coming out of Egypt, is a type and a shadow of our salvation. Exodus is a powerful narrative of God's deliverance of his people. It is a type and shadow of what God will do in our life. Egypt was a place of bondage. Egypt was a place of slavery. And Egypt is a type and a shadow of sin. And we know that they came out of Egypt by the blood of the lamb and the water. And then they followed the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And so it would be great. Let me give you some homework today. It'd be great for you to read the book of Exodus and to go through Exodus and extract all of the types and shadows of the New Testament that you can see right there in the book of Exodus. You see, the angel of death was going to pass over every household. And unless, everyone say unless they had applied the blood of the lamb to the doorposts and the lintel of their door, the firstborn was going to die in every house. So when that angel went over every place in Egypt, there was either going to be a dead firstborn or there was going to be the blood applied. And we know about the precious blood of Jesus that is applied to our life when we are born again. And just as God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and into the promised land, He will bring us out of our sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You see, the footprints of Jesus are all through the book of Exodus. You can study it because Israel's exodus from Egypt speaks of our exodus from sin. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. And so the children of Israel, they are the people of God. But when we read the book of Exodus, the children of Israel have been in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. 400 years. In fact, some people would say 40 years is a generation. 40 years is a generation. So they've been in slavery for 400 years. That's 10 generations in slavery. Think back 10 generations before. You don't even know who they are, most of you. Maybe you've heard about them. You know where they came from or something like that. But 10 generations in slavery. Not just slavery, but they were in Egypt away from their homeland. They'd been taken captive. They're experiencing bondage. They're experiencing slavery. Not only that, but they're having to live around all the Egyptian gods. All those Egyptian gods, no doubt, had distorted their understanding about God. Their faith, their theology and understanding of God would have been diluted over time because they're living in Egypt. Their association with the Egyptians would have distorted their understanding of the one true God. 10 generations living off just a distant memory of God. Are you understanding what I'm talking about today? They obviously, though, they had a memory. They obviously knew something about the one true living God, because in Exodus chapter 2, the Bible says that the Israelites were groaning in slavery and they cried out to God because of the slavery. They cried out to God. They maybe didn't understand God. They maybe didn't know a lot about God. 10 generations, just a distant memory of God, but they cried out to God. How many of you are thankful that you don't have to know everything about God for God to hear you? I'm thankful for that. Even as far as you've wandered away from God, maybe 10 generations, listen, you can cry out to God and God will hear you. It doesn't matter where you are today. I want to tell you, we've got a God that will hear you if you would just cry out. You may be distant today. Maybe you've been backslidden and walked away from God a long time. Maybe you don't understand a lot about God, but I'm thankful that I've got a God that will hear us when we cry out. They were struggling, yes, but God heard them. Amen. They didn't have a full understanding, but God heard them. And so God sends them a deliverer. What's his name? No, the deliverer in Exodus was Moses. I know the answer in Sunday school is everything. The answer is always Jesus. I remember when I was in Sunday school, teacher asked a question, say, Jesus. One day a Sunday school teacher says, what's white and fluffy and hops around? The kid says, Jesus. I said, no, it's a rabbit. So God sent a deliverer, Moses, to deliver them out of bondage. And Moses went in a number of times and asked Pharaoh, he said, let my people go. Let the Israelites go that they may worship. And so if you've seen the movies, you know that God sent plagues and famines and diseases. And those 10 plagues were a showdown between God and Jehovah. The blood, the frogs, the lice, the flies, the livestock, the boils, the hail, the locusts, the darkness, the death of the firstborn. It was a showdown between Pharaoh and God. Pharaoh is a type also. Pharaoh is a type of Satan who would like to keep us in captivity. How many people know that he'll work to do whatever he can to keep you in captivity? Yeah? Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't understand Satan until they start to live for God. And you'll know as soon as you try to get out of his grip and as soon as you try to start living for God, you'll realize that there is a Satan who's going to do anything to keep you in his captivity. And so Pharaoh is a type of Satan. Egypt is a type of sin. For New Testament believers, Egypt represents our old life, the slavery that we had under sin. And Moses is called to do the work of God and to lead God's people out of Egypt. But Pharaoh, everyone say Pharaoh. And I got a scary picture of Pharaoh there. But Pharaoh instinctively knew. He said, if they ever got out of my control, they would never willingly come back. I've got to do something to keep them under my control. He didn't want to let them go. As many times as Moses went and said, let my people go, Pharaoh knew. He said, if they ever get out from my reach, if they ever get out from under my control, they will never willingly come back. So what does Pharaoh offer? He offers some compromises. Everybody say compromise. Everybody say compromise. You see, when you set your heart to leave Egypt, and maybe some of you can testify about that today, that when you set your heart to start living for God, that it's going to stir Satan up. He's going to come to you with compromises. When you make a decision to live for God, you're going to stir the Satan up, and he's going to come and offer you compromises. He's going to try and bring you back under his control. When you come back from youth camp, young people, and you're on fire and ready to change your life, you can be sure that the devil's going to come against you. He's going to come against you with compromise and say, why do you have to be so full on for God? Why do you have to live for God like that? Why do you have to pray every day? You can be sure Satan is like Pharaoh. He says, if they ever get out of my control, they're never going to come back. So he's going to try and keep you as close as he can. And he knows that the only way to do that is compromise. He's not going to say you can't go. But he's going to say, you can go, but not completely. Anyone know what I'm talking about? And so right at the moment of their deliverance, Pharaoh begins to offer compromise. And I believe that if they had accepted any of those compromises, the plan of God would have been short-circuited in their lives. If they had accepted any of those compromises. You see, the devil is still offering compromises to people today. And many Christians are compromising their faith in God, trying to live one foot in the world and one foot in the church. It is a compromise. And as long as you've got one foot in the world, let me tell you, the devil still has control over you. Oh, don't get me wrong. Let me tell you, the worst place to live is to live on the fence. Everyone say on the fence. On the fence means you're a Christian who's got one foot in the world and one foot in the church trying to live for God. And let me tell you why it's the worst place. The Bible says that there is pleasure in sin for a season. So don't let anybody tell you that you can't have fun doing sin, because you can. You can have fun, but it will only be for a season. And if you live for God, Brother Often, the Bible says there is abundant life in Jesus Christ. There you can experience the abundant life, not just now, but even in eternity. It's not just for a season. And so the worst place to live is when you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church, because you're not enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. When you go to the world and you're sinning, your conscience is telling you, I shouldn't be doing this. You can't have any fun, because the Spirit of God is speaking to you, say, you ought not to be here. You ought not to be doing this. This is not the right thing, because you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You're compromised. And then when you're living for God, you're thinking about the things that you could be doing out there. And so you've got one foot in the world, one foot in the church. You're compromised, and you are living in the most boring place you could possibly live. I've come to encourage you today, compromise or to have no part in any Christian's life. Live for Jesus. Make up your mind and say, I'm coming out of Egypt. I'm not accepting any compromises with the devil. Somebody say amen. You ought to help me preach today. I'm preaching better than you're responding. Even with my croaky, froggy voice. So What will happen is that we're purposed in our heart. We've made a decision that we're going to go forward in God, that we're going to come out of Egypt, but the devil is going to come and present compromise. And there is a trend in Christianity, believe it or not. There is a trend in Christianity. There is pressure from the world. And it says that the church of the living God, to be relevant, we must compromise with the world. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's the same lie that Pharaoh used with Moses, that we must blend in, that we must bring the world into the church to make it more appealing to the world. Let me tell you, people aren't looking for the world in the church. They're looking for something real when they come to church. They're looking for something to break free from their addictions, to break free from their pain, to break free from the cycle of sin. They're looking for something real. And let me tell you, church, let the church be the church and let the world be the world. Don't let the two get all mixed up. And we won't accept the pressure from the world. We won't even accept the pressure from other churches that say, you know what, if you just become a little bit more worldly, it's going to become a little bit more comfortable for people. No, let me tell you, let the church be the church. Let the world be the world. Clap your hands to the Lord. You see, the lifestyle that we're called to live, the lifestyle as Christians, is in direct opposition to the lifestyle of the world. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, it says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." This is not a compromise. This is a lifestyle living for Jesus. This is not one foot in the world and one foot in the church. This is being wholeheartedly sold out for Jesus. Somebody say amen. 1 Peter chapter 15 verse and 6, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 and 16, it says, "But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation." That's not just our words and what we speak. Conversation means in all manner of behavior. As God is holy and he has called us, he calls us to be holy in every aspect of our life. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." And so what is our gauge? Our gauge is not to just be different from the world. No, our gauge is to be like Jesus. Oh, how I want to be like Jesus. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, how I long to be like Jesus. Let me tell you, some of us need to get a hold of our Bibles again and start reading the red letters and start reading the words of Jesus. Start reading about what Jesus did. Start looking at Jesus and saying, "I want to be like Jesus." Some of us, your bar is set too low. You say, "I just want to be different from the world." No, I want to be like Jesus. I want to love like Jesus. I want to live like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. In fact, the Christian life in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 is a life of perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Can we say that together? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so make no mistake, the devil will come with compromises. And so Moses goes into Pharaoh and he says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh comes out with some compromises. And here are the compromises. Exodus chapter 8, verse 25, the first compromise. Everyone say compromise. "And Pharaoh called Moses and for Aaron and said, 'Go ye and sacrifice to your God in the land.'" They said, "Let us go. Let us go so that we may sacrifice. Let us leave Egypt so we may sacrifice unto the Lord." And Pharaoh said, "How about this? How about you sacrifice to the Lord in Egypt? How about you stay here? I'll give you some liberties. I'll give you some room. But how about you sacrifice to your God in the land?" He did not want to let them go. He knew that if he relinquished control, that he wouldn't be able to get them back. Let me tell you, you cannot live for God in Egypt. You cannot live for God in sin. Faith is wonderful. Prayer is powerful. Repentance is incredible. But the devil doesn't care how much believing, how much praying, how much repenting you do, as long as you stay in Egypt. And that's a compromise being made by the devil to many people today still. You can serve God, but stay in Egypt. You can serve God, just you can go to church on Sunday, but live like the world all week. It's a compromise. Let me tell you, you can't live for God with one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Pharaoh offered a compromise. He said, okay, let me do a deal with you. And they're doing deals with the devil. Let me do a deal with you. You can worship God, but stay in Egypt. It was a compromise. The second compromise in Exodus chapter 8, verse 28. Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. I'll let you go out. Only you shall not go very far. I want you to stay close to Egypt. And there's a danger when we don't leave Egypt and keep going. That's why the Bible says, go forward. Even Lot, we know Lot came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He didn't leave it completely. He stayed close. He overlooked the city. And where did he end up? He ended up back in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Pharaoh offers a compromise. He goes, okay, I know you want to leave. I'm going to let you go out. But don't go very far away. Stay close. Stay close to sin. Don't leave. Don't leave Egypt completely. Just stay close. Set your tent looking over Egypt. Be intrigued by what's going on in Egypt. He knew that if they were not far away, that he could still recapture them easily. Everybody say it's a compromise. You see, the devil never gives up. Even when we are saved, he doesn't give up. It's just, he sees it as a temporary victory. He wants to stop you from going any further. I've come to tell the church, let my people go forward. It's time to keep going. It's time to leave Egypt. It's time to leave it in the dust and say, I'm going to serve God with my whole heart. I've made up my mind. I'm not turning back. I'm coming out of Egypt and I'm going to live for God with my whole life. Somebody say amen. Love not the world, 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. No compromises. The third compromise that Pharaoh makes to Moses is this. He says, not so. Go now, you that are men. I will let the men go, that they may serve the Lord. For that you did desire, you asked for that. I will let the men go. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. He said, you know what? Only the men can go. It was a compromise. Everyone say a compromise. Pharaoh knew if the men didn't take their families, there would still be a pull to go back to Egypt. It was a compromise. It was a trick of the devil. Pharaoh knew. He said, if I can just keep their women and their children, they'll be back in no time. It was a compromise. And you know, the devil still says this today. Yes, you can be a Christian. Yes, you can live for Jesus, but keep it to yourself. Don't go telling your family. Don't go leading your wife. Don't go leading your children to live for God. He tells wives, don't go telling your husband about this. Just keep your Christianity to yourself. I want to tell you, it's a compromise. And the devil still keeps offering the same compromise. Even some parents these days, you hear them, they're Christians and they're living for God. And, well, maybe they're not living for God. And they say, you know what? I'm just going to let my children find their own way. What a stupid thing to say. I mean, why do we raise our children? Why do we even teach them anything if we're just going to let them find their own way? Oh, they'll just follow their heart. Everyone say, follow their heart. How many people have heard that? That's a stupid idea as well. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can trust it? Raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is not just my faith, but I want my children to live for God. Why would I keep the good news from my children? Why would I keep my faith from the children? Why would I let them have to go into the world and suffer everything I did before and everything I experienced before I found Jesus? And so Pharaoh offered a compromise. He said, okay, you can do it. You can go, but keep it to yourself. Just the men. It was a compromise. Compromise number four. Pharaoh says, don't take your property. Leave your stuff here. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, okay, go. You can serve God. But leave your flocks, leave your herds, leave all your possessions here. You and your little ones can go, but leave your things here. Leave your property behind. You know, Pharaoh knew that as long as they left their stuff there, there would be a pull for them to return to Egypt. Don't sell out for God. Don't sell out. One thing that our generation does not do well is sacrifice. Let me tell you, our generation doesn't do well with sacrifice. The younger generation doesn't do well with sacrifice. Can you imagine if there was a war, how many 15 and 16 year olds these days would be ready to go over to the Middle East or ready to go to Papua New Guinea, like in the Second World War? How many would be willing to go and just give up years of their life to go and fight? Very few. In fact, we need to raise the bar for our young people. We need to raise the bar, have high expectations of them. But they knew, Pharaoh knew, he says, if they will not be willing to sacrifice their stuff, they're going to come back, their possessions, their positions, their money, their status, it's going to be too much. Their things are too important to them. I'll let them go. But you know what? As long as their stuff stays here, they're going to be back. The devil says, you know what? You can do your Christian thing. You can live for God, but don't let it change anything that you value. Don't let it change the way you live your life and the way you spend your time. Don't let this Christian thing change the way that you, your lifestyle. You can keep all of those things. You can, you just leave all those things in Egypt. Leave them. And Pharaoh knew. He said, if they will leave their stuff behind, they're going to be back in no time. They're not willing to sacrifice their stuff. Let me tell you, we've got to make up our mind and say, come on, hell or high water, I'm going to live for Jesus. And not just me, but everything that I've got. I'm sold out. I'm not giving up. I've got my eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I don't look to the left or the right. I made up my mind, not just my life, but everything I've got. It belongs to Jesus. I'm sold out. I'm not leaving anything in Egypt. I'm coming out with it all. These are compromises, church. Moses said to Pharaoh, he said, let my people go. As I close, the musicians could come. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 4, it says this, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. We know this story of the account of the Exodus that eventually they are allowed to go after the 10th plague, after the angel of death, he allows them to go. And Pharaoh's heart is hardened and he follows after them. Can you imagine? They reach the sea, seeming like a barrier. And they're thinking, why have we done this? Pharaoh's there, he's thinking, we've let them go. They're at the water thinking, we made a big mistake. Here we are now. Pharaoh is coming. In verse 6 it says, and Pharaoh made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. You know what? Here they are. They're walking out of Egypt. Now a big force is pursuing them to bring them back. Let me tell you, the devil will never give up. He will do whatever he can. And Pharaoh brings 600 chosen chariots. Now think about that. I was thinking about that. They're walking and Pharaoh's got chariots. They could hear the sound of the enemy pursuing them. The chariots of their past. Everyone say their past. Let me tell you, your past will pursue you. even though you've been born again and Jesus has given you new life and he's washed away your sins, let me tell you, the past chariots will still pursue you. The devil will come to you with condemnation over things that you've done in the past. The past will pursue you. But there they are at the sea. And sometimes God will send you something in your life. Listen to me carefully. They're there at the sea, seemingly an impossibility. They've come out of Egypt after all the compromises have been offered to them. They're out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. They're at the sea right there, and they can hear the chariots coming. Sometimes God will send something into your life to get you moving again. Everyone say moving again. Listen to me carefully. Sometimes God will send something in your life to freshen up your prayer life. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Pastor, I haven't prayed like I'm praying right now. Why? It's God allowed something in your life to get you moving forward again. And some of you are right now at the sea, and Pharaoh's pursuing. You're facing impossibilities. And God will allow these things to happen to get you moving again, to make up your mind. Some of you, when you get sick, you start praying. Some of you, when you get a job, you start praying and fasting. When you lose your job, you start praying and fasting. Sometimes when a family member gets sick, sometimes in times of loss, these things are there to get us moving forward again. What is the situation in your life today, church? Where are you today? Whatever you're facing, impossibilities, if you're facing sickness, I want to tell you, it's time to make up your mind and say, it doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to keep moving forward in God. I'm going to keep moving forward in God. Let those things get you praying again. Let those things bring you back to the house of God. I've been a pastor long enough. Sometimes you see people come to church, you haven't seen them in years. When they walk through the doors, you think, I wonder what's happened. Sad that I think like that. I'm sorry. But I know that sometimes things happen that bring us back to the house of God. Thank God for that, whatever it is. If it brought you back to God, it's important. So they're facing an impossibility. They're facing the sea. The enemy is behind them. An impossibility is in front of them. They've got to make up their mind. What are they going to do? And God's people are about to see the glory of God. They're about to see the power of God. God allowed them to be in a situation. God allowed them to be in a predicament that they couldn't get out of. God allowed them to be in an impossible situation. And it wasn't going to be their might, and it wasn't going to be their power that was going to get them out. Nothing that they had was going to bring them out. It wasn't going to be their intellect. They couldn't get all the people with PhDs together and say, how are we going to get ourselves out of this? Because it wasn't going to be their intellect that was going to get them out. They were on foot. Pharaoh's armies were in chariots. Pharaoh was coming. And you know what? It stirred them up. Everyone say, it stirred them up. And in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and you just hold your peace. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, God is fighting for us. Hold your peace. Put your trust in God. And the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying unto me? Go and tell the children of Israel that they need to go forward. How? We're facing the impossibility. How? They had faith to move forward. Yeah, they were moving forward until they got to a scary place. Until they got to an impossibility. Now they're saying, we want to go back to Egypt. Now they're cursing where they had been, where they are. Now they wanted to go back where they've been. They wanted to give up. Let me tell you, sometimes fear will cause you to stop moving forward. But church, don't be satisfied to stay where you are. Look to God and say, you know what? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to interpret where I am right now. But I know the Lord is going to fight for me, that he's going to bring me through. I'm going to hold my peace and I'm going to keep moving forward. Somebody's got to declare that today. I'm not satisfied just to be lukewarm. I'm going to keep moving forward. God has brought me out of Egypt, and I'm going to keep moving forward. They're about to see the power of God. Sometimes it takes an impossible situation. Sometimes it takes a sickness. Sometimes it takes a crisis. But it's in those times that we see the glory of God revealed. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right side and the left. You see, they made up their mind to go forward. They made up their mind, and somebody today is facing an impossibility. Somebody today is facing a struggle with your faith. Somebody today is struggling with doubt. Somebody today is struggling with a situation in your finances. Somebody today is struggling with a situation with your health. I want to tell you, sometimes the power of God is released when you make up your mind and say, you know what? No matter what, I'm going to keep moving forward in God. I'm not accepting any compromises. I'm going to move forward. What did Paul say in Philippians? Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes things don't make sense. Having faith isn't about making sense of everything. It's not. You're not going to be able to make sense of everything. Why did God bring us out of Egypt? Now we're facing an impossibility. Let me tell you, faith is not about making sense of everything. It's about moving forward in God no matter what. You need to receive that today. Let it rest in your heart today. Faith is not about making sense of everything. You're not going to be able to make sense. I've had to counsel too many people through too many crises. They say, Pastor, I don't know why this is happening. Why is it happening to us? I say, I just don't know. But faith is not understanding everything. Faith is not making sense of everything. Faith is saying, I'm going to keep moving forward no matter what comes against me, no matter what situations. I got my eyes on the prize. I've got my eyes on Jesus. I'm not turning back. I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm going to live for God no matter what happens. You see, you face these impossibilities. It's an opportunity for God to do something great in your lives. How many people can say they got testimonies? How many people are going to say they got testimonies? How many people got testimonies that they could tell you the power of God in their life? Let me tell you, you don't get a testimony without a test. Now you've got a message, but you don't get a message without a mess. Faith is not making sense of everything, but faith is saying, I'm moving forward no matter what. God's word to his people as they face the impossibility is, Moses, go and tell them, keep going further. Keep moving further and further away from Egypt. God has saved you from sin. He has taken you out of Egypt. He has delivered you from bondage and slavery. We've come out of Egypt, church. I'm thankful that I've been born again. I'm thankful that I'm a new creation, but I've got to keep going forward. I got to keep going forward. Don't be satisfied just to be a Sunday Christian and warm a chair. We don't need anybody to warm chairs here. I'm not satisfied to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I got to keep moving forward. God has saved us, but I got to keep moving forward. I got to keep walking with God. I've got to keep pursuing a holy life. There is a wonderland of glory. Let me tell you, some of us have been born again, and what a great experience. What a great experience to experience new birth. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Our sins are washed away in the waters of baptism. And that's beautiful to be saved. Say, once I was lost, but now I'm found. It's beautiful. But there's a wonderland of glory beyond just being born again. You see, being born again is simply God introducing himself to you. Nice to meet you, Othon. Jesus told Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. But there's a wonderland of glory beyond just being saved. You can know God in His power. You can experience His move in your life. Don't be satisfied to just stay there. Let me tell you, whatever impossibility you're facing today, make up your mind and say, I can't make sense of it. I don't have the answers. It's not my intellect. Nobody can help me, but I know that I'm going to see God do a work. Let's stand all across this place today. Let my people go forward. Let my people go forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands right now. Let's receive what God has spoken to us through His word today. God is speaking to somebody's heart today. Why don't you receive it today? Hallelujah. The call of God today is to keep moving forward. Whatever you're facing, whatever situations, purpose in your heart, I'm not going to turn back. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep pressing towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. These impossibilities that I'm facing right now, I'm going to get my eyes on God. I'm going to fix my heart on God. I'm going to focus my attention on the Word of God and the promises of God. I'm going to keep going forward. Wherever you are today, God is going to help you in your situation if you would look to Him. You see, sometimes the power of God is released when we make up our mind. Everyone say, make up our mind. I've made up my mind. I'm not going back. I'm going to keep moving forward. Nothing is going to destroy my faith. Nothing is going to tear it down. I'm not going to lose my faith. I've made up my mind. I'm going to keep moving forward.